Okay. Today's April 2nd, 2015. This is Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is a continuation of the public hearing on Senate Bill 5511. So we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 5511. And before we get started, I will turn it over to staff. Actually, before I do that, we have over 40 people signed up to testify today. There's a lot of folks that are from some of the same organizations. So I'd ask that you keep your testimony to 2 minutes. Even if everyone in this room keeps their testimony to 2 minutes, we will not have enough time for everybody. So if you can keep it to 1 minute, that would be greatly appreciated. Folks who have come and met with me personally or here in the building every day, if you could keep your testimony as well short. So I'd really like to get through everybody today, and we're going to certainly try to do that. Before we do that, we'll turn it over to staff. Is there anything? Mm-hmm. Nothing. So we'll go ahead and call up Representative Wayne Krieger and Representative Sal Esquivel. Okay. And
I guess I can start before he gets here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Representative.
Chair Rayfield and a couple of the committee members, for the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, state rep from District 1 on the South Coast. This perspective is starting in June 1, 1964 until today, and it's 50 years plus. My salary was paid by the Department of Fish and Wildlife for 28 years. When I retired in 1991, I had 5.5 years of uncompensated overtime on the books. The department got their money's worth. Representative Clem was, I believe, chair of the Natural Resource Committee in 2009 and asked me to head up a work group to see if we couldn't gather support for a fee increase for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We held several meetings and were successful finally to get that taken care of. Now, the thing that was interesting was that the consensus only came by people giving up the position of not only no, but no. They were very upset, but there were some guarantees that were put in there that got every people to come to support it. Today, I could not get the same result. I really believe that. The commercial industry negotiated a fee increase clear back in, I believe, September, October of 2014. That's what I was told anyway. I don't believe that today they would make that same agreement. License sales are significantly down. Adjacent states have enjoyed an increase in license sales, California, Washington, Idaho. Because of lack of opportunity, Oregonians are hunting in other states. I recently talked to one of my, Darren Farmer down in Brookings, family and his brother, 4 or 5 children, both wives hunt. They now hunt in either Idaho, Montana, or Nevada. They put in for out-of-state licenses, and some of them don't even buy licenses in Oregon at all anymore. The department is not paying attention to predation as a major factor. If they look back when they were having 75% loss of antelope fawns, it was due to coyotes. We know that salmon and steelhead smolts were being lost at nearly 50% in many of our estuaries. It's established. The spring Chinook run that are in the Columbia just came in here about a month ago. We're losing 50% of the adults to pinnipeds. We need to continue to look and understand what's taking place. Sage grouse, my understanding, they haven't done a study as to predation, even though a year ago they were cautioned they need to get that done. I'm going to step on some toes. The Wildlife Commission itself, everyone looks at this commission as the weakest and least knowledgeable ever. Our past governor appointments were directed to have people who he could influence. That's a fact. The results are devastating. In Public Safety Ways and Means, we had a good discussion as to what happened to the OSP Patrol Division when they lost the dedicated funding. The available troopers are about 50% of the 1970 numbers and are unable to properly cover Oregon's highways and are not accessible to assist other agencies to the point that they need to be able to do it. I believe the OSP Game Division has been switched at least partially into general fund within the Department of Fish and Wildlife's budget. Don't allow this to happen. Don't allow this to be something that we're going to look back at and say it was a mistake that's taken us nearly 30 years to finally we got a bill in judiciary to start back getting some dedicated funding for the state police. If we do, we'll eventually lose the capacity. The senators and representatives in the Public Safety Ways and Means agree that the OSP should return to dedicated funding, every one of us. Last, I don't see any long-term strategy and goals that the department has that will address their lack of revenue to properly fund the needs of our wildlife management. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Esquivel.
How are you today, Mr. Chair?
Very good. Good morning.
Thanks for having us here. So I want to talk about a little bit about the structure of ODF&W, and I also want to talk about how their attitude is, in my opinion, and this is just strictly my opinion. The accountability part in the department
actually,
is...
Representative, I hate to stop you, but if you could
Representative
just...
Sal Eskimo, Representative District 6.
Who
I'm sorry,
you?
Mr. Chair, I should know better.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I should. The accountability of what we have in the way of biologists, you hear of all these biologists, but what exactly did they do and what did they produce and what did they bring toward us as the lawmakers and the people that control their budget is non-existent per se. Example, there was just an example done by given by my representative friend here, and that is that the sage grouse, when asked in committee, what we had in Ag and Natural Resource, we asked how many biologists did you have assigned to that? And the assistant director at that time said none. Well, that's not true. They did have some. But we asked then, what is the predators? What is causing the downfall of the population through predators? And that answer was not in the scheme of things. Was unanswerable at that time. We have a lot of biologists in this state, but we're not real sure exactly what we have, 407 biologists. What exactly did they do? And I ask that, not being facetious, but I just ask, what do they do? Because you have a declining mule deer population. You have a declining blacktail population. You have a declining pheasant population. You have a declining Roosevelt elk, you have a declining Rocky Mountain elk. And they'll say, no, we make our management objectives on elk. Well, sure you do, because you change the number every year. They get with the landowners. That's what they call a management objective. I can meet a management objective anytime if I'm changing the bar. Anybody can do that. But the truth of the matter is there's less animals today than there was 15 years ago, in my opinion. The game numbers are on a decline, I think. While bandtail pigeon is on a decline, I believe that we also have a chukar problem, but that a lot of that depends upon weather. Now, what I see with this organization, this department, is that they manage for money and they don't manage for game. That's my honest opinion. What's the answer to ODF&W's woes, even though they're not competent enough to cut back people when they need to? They're running into a deficit, so what's the answer? Let's raise the fees. Ohio has done some extensive studies on this, and they found out every time they'd raise fees, they'd have less people participate. Makes sense. When they'd lower fees, they'd have more people participate. Well, this ODF&W organization that we have will not accept that, even though it's there. The studies are there. In fact, there's such woes when it comes to money is that they offered to have an archery range down in southern Oregon. They were going to spend $137,000 on an archery range. And I asked why, because we have four others. And the answer was for public relations. Well, if we're hurting for money so badly, why are we doing this? That's the big question. Again, accountability. Let's get to the sage grouse. That thing's been festering for years. It's been finally coming to a head, finally. Where's been ODF&W with raising the red flags 10 years ago, even 5 years ago? Non-existent. That's because I think that we need to look at this organization as a whole, and we need to look at how it's managed, but more importantly, who's managing it as well. I'm stepping on toes, I understand that, but you know, folks, unless we tell what we really feel and tell the truth, then we'll never capture what needs to be done with this department. So with that, I would say that I would take a very hard look at what they're doing, how they're doing it. The answer is not raising fees every time they get into a pinch because of their poor management practices. The answer is to manage properly. So we all have to do it in business. We all have to do it. We're in our own homes. Why can't ODF&W do it in their department? You have any questions?
Thank you both for your candor. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. And we gave them a little leeway because it's early in the morning. But again, let's keep it to around, you know, 1 to 2 minutes, because if everybody testified that long, we're not going to get through one sheet. So let's go ahead and call up Tom Wolf, Bruce Poley, and Bill Kluding. And we'll go ahead and have Mr. Kluding start first, as he has a meeting at 9 o'clock. Although if he's testifying for 2 minutes, he won't have a problem making that meeting. Oh, we only have two chairs.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Committee, for the record, Bill Kluding, avid sportsman. First off, let's just say that we've spent $14 billion in the last few years on salmon. $14 billion. Everybody's power bill in this, the Northwest, is 18% higher because of bringing the salmon back. Now, we have brought the fish back. We have brought the fish back. We've done a good job, except we're running into a brick wall. Predation in all of our bays, Columbia River, is going to take half of our salmon. Half. The smolt's going down, and the spring and fall, summer Chinook coming back. The bays are full of double-crested cormorants, seals, sea lions. NOAA has even said that the spring Chinook is going to get, they only counted 4,000 seals and sea lions. We got 10,000 now. I see the spring Chinook run wiped out. The premier salmon in the Northwest. NOAA sent a letter to the state saying they're not going to give us $4 million this year because they're not satisfied with the coho return in our coastal streams. They're wrong. But that letter is a problem for us. There's jobs cut from the ODF that help these coastal, north coastal stream conservation groups. We have to maintain those jobs. That's not in the governor or previous governor's budget. We need to look at that. Enough on fish, hunting. You've heard the facts. Our black-tailed deer population is down. The mule deer population is down. I have members throughout this state, and they're all disgusted with the lack of deer and elk in their areas. Now, in private areas on the coast, the elk are doing fine, but we need to take a long look. It's a hard job, but we've got to bring it back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kluding, and thank you for keeping your testimony short. Mr. Wolf.
Co-Chair Rayfield, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf, the Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited, representing the close to 3,000 members of Trout Unlimited here in the state, members who are avid hunters and fishers. So I just want to, my testimony is already in O-List, 3 pages worth, plus an attachment on what our members are doing in the state, so I'll be very brief. I want to just touch on 2 points. One is restoring the Western Oregon Stream Restoration Program, a $2 million program that provides biologists and aid to watershed councils and groups working on watershed restoration. It was cut out of the governor's recommended budget. We feel that it should be back in. It's a very important. Others testifying after me will touch on it. And also on POP 101, which would provide funding for key field staff to work with on watershed and field issues. They work very closely with our members on restoration projects we're doing all over the state. We think that's a key program that needs to be funded within the budget. Lastly, just in closing, I am a sixth-generation Oregonian whose family has been in Oregon for over 170 years. I care deeply about this state. I care deeply about the sport of hunting and fishing. I care deeply about the conservation of native fish and wildlife. I asked, even though I have many times agreed with the department on issues, they are good people working on trying to do the best they can to restore and protect fish and wildlife. I ask that this budget be funded. Trout Limit also supports the license fee increase, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Pulley.
Co-Chair Redfield, members of the committee, my name is Bruce Pulley, Vice President and Government Relations Chairman for CCA Oregon. I'm a volunteer with CCA and an avid recreational angler living in Sherwood. CCA is the largest marine conservation organization in the country. Here in Oregon, CCA has dozens of chapters across the state and has been a key player in state fisheries management on the behalf of recreational anglers. I'm here today to outline concerns CCA has with ODFW's budget request and associated legislative proposals, which include significant recreational fishing license fee increases. We understand ODFW's need for additional revenues, but believe the budget must include policies to grow recreational fishing opportunity and the resulting license sales and agency revenues rather than merely raising license fees. We also believe that the budget must place a greater emphasis on addressing key threats to the future of our fisheries and recreational fishing. Recreational fishing provides immense economic benefits to Oregon. Recreational fishing is also the leading source of revenue for ODFW, with recreational license fee revenue currently accounting for 19% of the department budget. Federal fishing dollars, including excise taxes paid by licensed fishermen, fund another one-third of the agency's overall budget. The state general fund accounted for only 5% of ODFW's current biennial budget. And even with the proposed increase in general fund dollars in this budget request, which we support, general fund will still only amount to about 8% of the agency budget. I'm going to try to shorten up a couple of my points here, but the three main focuses that we would like the agency to focus on in order to show some movement toward providing a recreational opportunity and improving fisheries is funding hatchery reform and improvements to hatcheries in the state of Oregon. We have scientific evidence that shows the modernized hatchery programs are greatly improved to allow for robust hatchery runs.
And I'm going to have to ask you to pick it up a little bit. 2 minutes is just coming up.
But the infrastructure itself needs to be improved. We're going to be making a capital budget request for this later in the session.
And real quickly, what are your two other points?
Predation.
Okay.
Which you've already heard a lot about. I've been on the river a lot in the last month, and I've never seen so many sea lions in my life.
And the third one?
Just recreational priorities in general for recreational fishing, because that's what's going to fund this agency. Other states have done it, and state of Oregon needs to realize that's the path to liquidity.
Thank you very much. I apologize for having to cut you short.
I understand why.
So, Senator Hansel.
Sir, for the record, CCA stands for what?
Coastal Conservation Association.
Thank you.
It's the Oregon chapter.
And again, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you, gentlemen.
My pleasure.
We'll go ahead and call up Doug Biggs and James, and it's fading on here, Justice Jolston or something along. And please begin when you're ready.
My name is Doug Briggs. I live in Troutdale. I live on the Sandy River. I'm the president of the Sandy River chapter of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. That's 250 of our 1,600 members are in that chapter. They represent 20% of the volunteer hours, over 6,000 man hours from the volunteers. One of the key volunteer things we do is the acclimation pond, 1,378 miles, 138 hours to feed the fish for the period that they acclimate. 66,000 fish twice a year for the last 3 years. We're very active in the STEP program. This shirt I'm wearing is a shirt. 66 people have been through the ODF&W training to be instructors. We do that as a partnership with ODF&W. We also do clinics with them. The thing we'd like to see ODF&W do is give the sports fishers some representation on the boards with ODF&W. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. My name is James Johnston. I'm with the Northwest Steelheaders of Salem and also the Sandy chapter. I'm bringing up to the board regarding the budget cuts, like they were saying, on how they are wanting to raise the increases of the licenses and stuff. What I'm asking the fishing game to do is to do more stuff for the disabled people and the handicapped and veterans, like handicapped docks, licenses. Like in, when I lived in Idaho for 1 year with my uncle, I took my reward letter in from Social Security. They honored a fishing license for nothing. I wish the fishing game could put that in some type of a budget where the disabled veterans and disabled handicapped people could at least get something back from the state instead of having to be charged almost their whole check just to cover their fishing licenses and tags and whatever they need. And other things that the habitat, habitat counts are really down, and we'd like to see them come back up a lot more.
Thank you both for your testimony and taking the time out of your day to come here. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you both. Go ahead and call up John Nagy and Trampas. I'm trying to read the names. Sedets.
I'm John Nagy, and I'd like to give my town to Bob Reeves to speak.
Okay, then I guess we'll bring up Bob Reeves and the Trampas or okay. Please begin.
Good morning, Coach Air Right Field, members of the committee. My name is Bob Reese. I'm Executive Director for the Association of Northwest Steelheaders, also representing the Northwest Guides and Anglers Association. The Association of Northwest Steelheaders really sees ourselves as integral, important partners with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. As you heard from Sandy President Doug Briggs, collectively, our chapters, 11 chapters in all, donate around 30,000 volunteer hours every year to the betterment of fish and wildlife resources. We run several clinics that recruit between 300 and 500 new anglers into the system every year. We're growing the angler base just as this budget and the subsequent fee increase indicates we're going to lose 10,000 anglers with the increase in license and tag fees. I'd like to take a brief moment just to ask members of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders just to raise your hand right now to give you an indication of the breadth that we have here in the room. As a small representation of our 1,600 members that exist in mostly Northwest Oregon and Central Oregon as well as Southwest Washington, we are having a hard time embracing this fee increase for a few specific reasons. One, you heard before, representation of the sport fleet on the Fish and Wildlife Commission. We haven't witnessed that in probably over a dozen years. As a key stakeholder for this agency, we're way past time to have representation on that Fish and Wildlife Commission. We're seeing a reduction in sport opportunity. We witnessed a closure of a key fishery that we were growing that targeted hatchery fish at the mouth of Young's Bay. Part of the reason for the Columbia River shift was to grow opportunity and provide additional opportunity in rural areas in particular. We have what could be a really strong August fishery that's no longer existent. The implementation of barbed hooks, which reduces our angler success, and continued flat funding, which will only cause further declines in participation, further causing burden with the agency funding. One other thing to keep in perspective too, and I'll pass out a handout here that shows you the importance of hatchery fish to the agency as well as our constituency. Hatchery fish funding needs to remain whole. That's how we grow this base that largely funds this agency currently.
Mr. Reese, I'll ask you to wind up with the next sentence.
So. Okay. Well, this describes those other benefits, and that's really all I have.
Okay. Thank you very much for being patient with us. Representative Gomberg.
Keep my questions quick, Mr. Chair, but Bob, I'm really interested not only in your perspective as a fisherman, but as a guide, and I'd like to know your sense of how fee increases are going to affect our small businesses and our tourist economy.
Yes, very good question. Co-chair Rayfield and Representative Gomberg, it is something, it depends on the fleet. We tend to take higher higher capacity anglers on our boat. They pay a pretty high fee to fish with us. Not going to impact us as much as the charter fleet. I think you're going to hear from the charter fleet folks in particular. So probably not so much our constituency, but maybe in the charter fleet, which, you know, again, as you understand very well, rural folks really like to take advantage of that. And for that reason, the folks that do fish, my neighbors in Bay City, Oregon, they're the ones that are going to be most impacted, the ones that are on fixed income, the one that really utilizes the wild salmon and steelhead and hatchery fish in the region.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we'll go ahead and call up Mike Myrick and Ken Johnson, or Mike Myrick.
Good morning, co-chair and members. My name is Mike Myrick. I'm the education director of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders, and thank you for the opportunity for us to come forward to you with our concerns. The budget is critically flawed, receiving a disproportionate amount of fees from the licenses and tags of hunters and other fishers and sportswomen and sportsmen. Then so much of that money gets siphoned off to pet projects instead of going to where it should go from our fees. Sports people feel that we are not getting our bang for the buck. As Bob mentioned, we don't have a representative on the commission, and that should be changed. As education director, I'm responsible for the steelheaders effort with the ODFW, whereupon we distribute fish eggs twice a year to students in over 100 schools in the Portland metropolitan area. The students rear these eggs for about 2 months, and they take them out and distribute them. And then all the results of what happens goes back to ODFW. It's not a propagation, it's an education. It's a very, very popular program. And for the first time in over 2 years, I do not have a waiting list from teachers, but it's going to start again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ken Johnson, Northwest Steelheaders, chair, co-chair and representatives. Oregon has many world-class rivers, lakes, and streams that offer opportunities for outdoor activities that most states don't have. The state of Oregon spends millions of dollars on one hand dealing with many troubled families, excuse me, both parents and kids that are troubled. On the other hand, Oregon has agencies like ODFW that provide opportunities for quality family and youth activities. Through their many programs, kids and families are provided the opportunity to learn about the importance of maintaining clean waterways, clean environments, and healthy fish and wildlife. Together with other agencies like U.S. Forest Service, BLM, Oregon Parks Department, many of the counties, citizens of Oregon have access to millions of acres of recreation opportunities. ODFW enhances that opportunity with their hatchery, STEP, and outreach programs to provide positive educational and recreational activities for all the families and the citizens of Oregon. The sport fishing industry in Oregon provides an economic base that encourages quality lifestyles, and ODFW is a major player in that effort. I encourage you to make sure they are funded adequately to continue their positive impact on all of us. Most of us, I would say everybody in this room, could remember the first time you caught a fish. There's several things in your life that you remember. You always remember where you caught the first fish, where it was and what it was. And I just think that's an opportunity that we should continue to enhance for the population of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you both. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you. We'll go ahead and call up Brad Hallierson and Joe Roadleader.
Might have a few more copies there than we actually need.
Please begin.
Chair Rayfield and committee members, thank you for allowing me to add my voice to those of other sports anglers who have testified here today. For the record, my name is Brad Halverson, and I reside in Hillsboro, Oregon. As a life member and current state board member for Northwest Steelheaders, and life member and past state board member for CCA, it could be construed, I'm speaking on their behalf, but I would ask you to take a more global perspective and construe my testimony as speaking on behalf of all sports anglers in Oregon. You are convened here today to review and rule on the ODFW budget for the next biennium. It is my testimony that the model for that budget is flawed. It relies disproportionately on angler fees and endorsements, but our reality today cannot sustain department programs and manpower tactics as we experience a continuing decline in angler participation and commensurate license revenue due to a number of variables. To attract a growing audience of sports anglers, two elements are required: affordable license fees and opportunity. Opportunity is defined as being able to fish longer seasons in more basins with a likelihood of catching our prey. The latter is significantly dependent on sustained and expanding hatchery production, and it may be discussed by others, but it's not the focus of my testimony. Many of us committed sports anglers are older and have resources, so increasing fees and endorsements will not deter us. But the target audience the department seeks, I surmise, is the younger generations. The 20-somethings and 30-somethings, these fees are real money and a barrier to entry. ODFW models demonstrate this inverse relationship between fee levels and angler participation. In fact, I believe they're modeling a 10,000-person decline related to this latest round of fee increases. They're confident the increased fees will cover this decline, but it is a disintegrating spiral to extinction. We urge you, select committee members, to help forge the paradigm shift that will save the department and allow them to add personnel and programs that will attract and sustain a growing population of license holders. Our coastal state neighbors access their general fund in their respective states on a much more significant basis than Oregon. We ask you to correct this imbalance by funding the budget before you, primarily, if not exclusively, from taxpayer funds.
Thank you. Very well read.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rollator. I live in Walport, Oregon. I'm here today representing Seafood Oregon, which are the four commodity, made up of the four commodity commissions that commercially fish on the ocean. We participated in ODFW's EBAC process. Early on, we realized that we had sort of a unique set of issues. We had the goal of making sure that the commercial fish fund was whole so that the department could maintain its conservation and management missions. We also realized that we needed to keep our taxes low enough that commercial fishermen from other states or from our own state wouldn't land in another state where the taxes, ad valorem taxes, were less. We have two kinds of taxes that we pay. We pay a dollar fee on our permits, and our permits are pretty stable because they're all limited entry permits. We also pay an ad valorem fee, which is like a sales tax, which is a combination of how many fish we land and how much money we get for those. So we support the commercial fishing part of this budget. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you both. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we'll call up Stan Steele and Brooks looks Elliotson. On deck, if you're in the overflow room, is Randy Woosley and Daryl Morehouse. And please begin when you're ready.
Good morning, Chair Rayfield, committee members. My name is Stan Steele. I live a little bit south of Corvallis. I'm here today representing the Oregon Outdoor Council, which is a umbrella group in Oregon that represents businesses as well as many guide associations and Oregon Trappers Association and others. Quickly, in a couple of minutes, I also was a team member of the EBAC process and have been a longtime, lifetime supporter of ODFW and their programs. We still are. But that doesn't mean that we should not look at and prioritize. Participation is declining in Oregon, 18%, 17% respectively, since 2006 in hunter and angler participation. It's alarming. It's a business model that needs to be rebooted. It's a strong economic engine. We spend about $2.5 million per day. We pay over $515 million in salaries, $99 million in state taxes, with a ripple effect on Oregon's economy of $1.6 billion. So in 2 minutes, and I realize we're doing that because of the amount of people, but it kind of is the problem that we all face, and how do we get this thing correct? We can't quickly do it. We can't do it in 2 minutes. We might be able to do it in 20 years, 2 years, or whatever. That's why we support House Bill 2402. We have to stop the decline. Without that decline, We're going to have additional tax revenues, additional general funds taken away from other very important programs. We're going to have declining state police enforcement. We're going to have increased predator problems and decreased success with opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Rayfield and members of the committee, I appreciate you allowing me the opportunity to testify. My name is Brooke Seilertsen. I live in Sherwood, Oregon, and I am an employee at Fisherman's Marine and Outdoors. Fisherman's is probably the largest independent fishing, tackle, and outdoor retailer in the Portland area. We have over 100 employees that pretty much have family wage jobs paid for by the business that is created by sport fishing in Oregon. I'm here to oppose the proposed fee increase. Personally, I see these prices as they are now as a barrier to participation in my own family. I have three adult kids with spouses, and when we want to get together and do something, my inclination as an outdoorsman is I want to go out and participate in fishing or clamming or whatnot. They're tight, they're young adults, they're trying to make their way, and these kind of prices for a one-time deal don't always pencil out, so I end up picking it up when I can. In a lot of instances, we do something else. So it is a barrier to entry. I do not believe that by raising the fees 55 to 60%, you're going to help that at all. In business, if we were to lose 10,000 employees, which is the number of license purchasing sportsmen in Oregon that is projected to be lost by ODFW with these fee increases, if we lost 10,000 customers, the last thing in the world we would do is raise our prices. It's just not good, and I urge you to oppose or to not let the fee increase go through. Thank you.
Thank you both. Are there any questions? Well, seeing no questions. And just as a quick reminder, we have less than an hour left and still over 30 people. So if everybody kept it to 2 minutes, we'll be going over. So shorter you can be, the better. I'd really like to hear from everybody today. So we'll go ahead and call up Randy Woosley and Daryl Morehouse. On deck is Jim Myron and Christy Split.
Chair Rayfield and committee, my name is Randy Woolsey. I own a business in Tigard, Oregon, and I'm a manufacturer's rep in the fishing tackle industry. I represent some factories in Oregon as well as other states and around the country, and call on my clients are independent sporting goods stores and both small and large around the state of Oregon, actually in every city and town in Oregon. The one thing I hear from my customers about fee increases is how it affects the families that come in and shop at those stores, especially the young families. You know, they have to bear the burden of these fee increases. They may be planning a trip to Diamond Lake or somewhere else in Oregon, and these fees can be prohibitive from them participating in this sport that we all love. I'm also a member of the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. We endeavor to participate with the department in growing opportunity for this sport. We try to do that. The other kind of issue, and of course I'm here opposing this fee increase, the other issue we have is we would like to see more representation on the commission. We are troubled with some of the commission policies that hurt opportunity for sport fishing, like closure areas in some of our most important fisheries, hook restrictions. These are all things that hurt the industry and hurt our customers that are out there. So that's my testimony today, and I appreciate you taking it.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Rayfield and members, my name is Daryl Morehouse. I'm a resident in West Salem. I'm here today in opposition of the fee raises for angling. I'm a member of the Steelheaders Salem chapter, as well as being a volunteer instructor. And I'm going to speak solely from a personal perspective. I've been a fisherman for 50 years and enjoyed my angling experiences throughout those years, and I was a commercial fisherman for about 7 years. But I want to say that I'm thinking myself that it's becoming more and more of a hardship for me to get out and get fishing again because of the fact that, number one, the fees are getting tighter for me because of, as a retiree for 22 years, my salary has not increased substantially. So I hope that the commission will take a look at the aspect of the raising of the fees itself and deny that. I think that, you know, it was one of the things that I that struck me just this last weekend. We had a Wounded Warriors Fishing Day, and the Wounded Warriors and their families came out for the fishing day. And I was lucky enough to be on a small dock in a lake, and this little 5-year-old girl caught a 13.5 inch trout. And the look on her face made my day. And my hope is that until she gets to 14, she's going to be allowed to fish for free, okay? But once she gets to be 14 and has to have a fishing license, I hope that those fees are not so high that she's unable to participate in fishing from there on out. So thank you very much for my opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Hack.
I'll be quick. Thank you, Chair. That we've heard several times that there needs to be stakeholder representation on the committee, or on the commission. What would be the ideal number in your mind of the number of representation that would be needed?
Well, I would like to see one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you both. So we'll call up Jim Myron and Christy Split. On deck is Quinn Reed and Jonathan Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee. My name is Jim Myron. I'm here representing the Native Fish Society. We're also a member of the Oregon Conservation Network group that you'll hear from Christy about, and we support what she's going to say as well. So let me just focus on one issue, the fee increase. We have supported the fee increase from the outset. We think it's a prudent approach. ODFW is only doing what they said they were going to do 6 years ago when they got their last fee increase. They said, we're going to make this last 6 years, and then we'll be back again. So they've upheld their end of the bargain, and we feel we need to uphold ours as well. So the choices you have are to either pass the fee increase as it is and incur the wrath of the fishing and hunting community, which probably isn't a prudent approach. The other choice is to not approve the fee increase and take $9.5 million out of the budget, which may not be the prudent approach either. So there may be an alternative that you want to consider, maybe a 2-year fee increase with some sort of an agreement that the parties are all going to get together and try and figure out what this agency is going to look like in 10 or 15 years and create a vision for the agency that's built around not only fishing and hunting, but also the broader aspects of all the wildlife that the public appreciates and wants to support. And that's why we support the addition of more general fund dollars to the agency. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Christy Split, and I'm here representing the Oregon Conservation Network today. The Oregon Conservation Network is a coalition of over 40 organizations, along with the hundreds of thousands of members of those organizations, working to protect Oregon's natural legacy. We identify priorities each year, reforming the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is a 2015 priority for a healthy Oregon. So I want to just quickly point out that I submitted some testimony pretty short to OLIS, so take a look there since we're keeping things really short. We have some kind of specific requests in there. But in general, I just want to point out that we support the reinvestment of general fund into the agency. It's critical that that happens. But we also want to make sure that when those general fund dollars are reinvested in the agency, that they go toward programs that benefit the public as a whole. We also want to point out that as a coalition, we support the fee increases. You've heard a lot about them today. I just want to echo Jim that the Oregon Conservation Network supports those. And in part, it's because we think that they're modest. On average, 15 to 20% over 6 years. I hear the concerns from others in the room. I'm glad to hear some open doors on maybe what exactly we come up with this year. But just want to make sure you know that there's some people out there that do actually think they're necessary. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife budget is in dire straits, and without a fee increase, they'll be in even more dire straits. So I just want to make sure that you know that there's some groups out there that that do support that. Again, just really specific items to point out, including support of other bills that might bring some revenue to the agency, like House Bill 3315 from the network, and I urge you to take a look at our written testimony. Thank you.
Thank you both. We'll go ahead and call up Quinn Reed, Jonathan Martin. On deck is Don Veeks and Liz Hamilton.
Mama taught me ladies first.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the committee. My name is Quinn Reed, and I represent Oregon Wild and our 15,000 members and supporters from across the state. Our organization has a very strong interest in making sure that ODFW is made whole, functional, and stable long into the future. We want the agency fully empowered to carry out its traditional work in providing recreational opportunities for hunting and fishing. But more importantly to us, we want to make sure that the agency is empowered to carry out its broader conservation mission that supports the interests of the public as a whole. We are working this session with a coalition, a group of conservation groups, hunting and fishing groups, to come up with proactive solutions to address ODFW's budget issues in this session and beyond. In the long term, we believe the agency needs to address currently untapped markets. We also believe that it needs to significantly diversify its revenue base. But in this session, with respect to the general fund allocation, we believe that it can help address the agency's immediate budget shortfall and that it can set the stage for positive reform for years to come. Specifically, with respect to the general fund allocation, we believe that in accordance with the agency's conservation mission, general funds should be tied to programs that benefit the public interest. Specifically, we'd like to recommend that general fund dollars be allocated to support the implementation of the Oregon Conservation Strategy. We advocate an approach that, again, looks at whether or not certain programs can currently access funds from license and fishing fees. And it should be programs that cannot access those fees that should be allocated general fund dollars. As a second point, it should be looked at again whether or not those programs support the broader public interest. We think this approach ensures that the public interest in all of Oregon's native fish and wildlife, not just those species that can be hunted or fished, is protected for generations to come.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jonathan Manton. I'm here today testifying on behalf of Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch has been dedicated to the conservation and protection of restoration of natural flows in Oregon's rivers since 1985. And I want to make just a couple quick points, and then I'll maybe speak for just myself. The first is full support for POP 101. They're a water quantity and water quality program that's critical for ensuring the health of Oregon watersheds and treasured rivers in that POP, so we support that full funding. Also asking for an add-back of about $200,000 in general funds to support three positions that are necessary to carry out the in-stream studies that are recommended in the 2012 Integrated Water Resources Strategy. And these points are laid out in the testimony from Kimberly Priestley that's on OLIS, that ODF's UW's role in carrying out that IWRS is critical to the success of the program, and we ask for it to be fully funded. And then just very briefly, as a personal note, just on speaking on behalf of myself, you know, I moved to Oregon a little over 15 years ago, originally from Georgia, where there aren't many trout streams left. You can't catch a wild trout much at all. A few places you can go from far north Georgia. We have something very special in this state. And I really appreciate the testimony earlier from the first person that was mentioning the first time they caught a fish. I certainly remember that. I also remember the first time I was in Oregon when I caught a hatchery fish that was sick and diseased. And I remember the first time in Oregon when I caught so many of those sick and diseased hatchery fish in one season that I realized they were having a huge detriment on the wild fish in the river. So I would ask that we kind of keep the conservation mission of this organization and dedication to protection of truly wild places and wildlife and wild fish to the extent that we possibly can moving forward. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And so I just did a recent count. We still have 24 people and 40 minutes left to go. So while I've said 2 minutes and keep it shorter, everybody's pushing it to 2 minutes. So I am being very sincere when I say please keep your testimony as quickly as possible, because we do have some people that traveled over 75 miles that I'd like to get to today. We will get to them, but I may have to shorten everybody up. So next, Don Veeks, Liz Hamilton on deck, Mickey Varney, and a Lincolns, or Al Elkins. There we are. It's all into one word. Al Elkins. Thank you. Please begin.
Yeah, good morning, co-chairs, or I should say chair, and members of the committee. I'm Liz Hamilton, and I am lucky enough to have served as the executive director of Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association since they started in 1993. NSIA's sectors include manufacture, wholesale, distribution, retail, and the tourism and service sectors. Our policies are developed through a lens of conservation, economics, and social equity. And on behalf of the NSIA, I'm here in opposition to the substantial fee increase package submitted by the agency. I've included data on the business of sport fishing in Oregon, the 11,000 jobs, $72 million in taxes, and over $1 billion in ripple effect annually. Additionally, this industry pays an excise tax, a federal excise tax that comes back to the state tied to licenses, and that excise tax is about $16.5 million over the biennium. It's a huge amount of money. Simply put, ODF&W manages resources that are worthy of a better plan than killing the goose that laid the golden egg. A fee increase of this magnitude is just the biggest thing I've ever seen in two decades, and I don't think it's going to work. We have worked over the history of our organization on fee increases to keep this agency healthy. We do support a healthy agency because they regulate this industry. Additionally, we've worked in Congress to secure federal funding like the Pacific Salmon Coastal Restoration Fund and other activities. But if this budget increase is passed, this historically large fee increase is going to drive away customers. And then in 6 years, will we have a bigger fee increase with less customers and a bigger fee increase with less customers? It just doesn't help the agency, their conservation mission, or our industry.
And begin to wrap it up.
I'm talking as fast as I can. There's 11,000 jobs in this industry. I'm doing my best to talk for them. This state, we deserve a plan, not excuses on why
again,
we can't do this.
I'm going to have to ask you to start wrapping it up within the next sentence.
All right. We'd like to work with you and the governor's office and the agency to find a better way to get a big piece or small piece of a big pot rather than a huge of a small pot.
Thank you. And again, when you go over, that means that somebody in the overflow room doesn't get to testify. So it's
to
everybody.
I appreciate what you're trying to do. Thank you.
Co-Chair Rayfield, other members of the committee, my name is Don Vokes. I'm from Gresham, Oregon. I am a steelheader from the Sandy River chapter. I'm also an instructor for ODFW. I want to speak to you, though, more not from representing an organization. I cannot afford these fee increases any longer. My wife has stopped fishing from an annual license and has gone to individual days. My son and daughter-in-law are very serious about maybe we won't be fishing from annual licenses anymore. These fee increases are too much. I also want to speak that we need to find some way to do something about the predation of our salmon stocks. Just the other evening, I saw in the national news 7,600 sea lions in Astoria made national news for the numbers. Those sea lions are eating our fish. I am very disturbed that ODFW can misappropriate funds that are used for, were dedicated for salmon restoration from salmon license plates, and were they took $250,000 and misappropriated it for using in building a new office. I am very disturbed that we do not have enough money for hatchery fish. I think hatchery fish, we have had hatchery fish in this state for over 100 years. Our wild fish are few, but it has been shown again and again that they are not damaging our wild fish. That's the end of my testimony.
Thank you both, and again, thank you for the patience. I really want to make sure that everybody's voice is heard today. So we will call up Mickey Varney and Al Elkins on deck, Peggy Lynch, Mike Dykesel.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. We are a 10,000 member of hunting organization, the largest hunting organization here in Oregon. To the fee increase, best said by a member in an email to me, we don't want more hunting opportunities. We want more opportunities to see wildlife. That person reflects basically the majority of our members in relation to the fee increase. Therefore, OHA does not support the fee increase. Specifically, Mr. Co-Chair, we would like to see the House Bill 3315, if it does not get through the process, in some way become part of the budget process. It was best said in the Section 1 of the bill, ODFW does significant work and spends significant resources providing services to other state agencies, but is not compensated for such services. We would like to see this process begin in collecting the data to determine how much money they're spending and how much money they're not collecting. That would be a great service, I think, to the agency. And lastly, we would like to see the $5 million funding for the OSP game and forfeit officers taken out of general fund and not out of hunter and fisher license fees. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the committee, my name is Mickey Varney. I'm a salmon biologist with 25 years of experience in the evaluation of hatchery salmon releases. I am currently the statewide chief steward with SEIU Local 503, and today I am here to speak in support of the employees of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. SEI Local 503 represents nearly 80% of the employees in ODFW. ODFW receives national recognition for the great work that it does. And those things could not be accomplished without its frontline workers. The agency has done a lot of work over the past 2 years to increase efficiency and effectiveness in the face of reduced revenue. But faced with the new reality of shifting participation in fishing and hunting, the agency needs a long-term plan to clearly outline our mission and strategies for a sustainable budget over future biennia. This plan needs to address the shift in participation, as well as the increase in other activities such as wildlife viewing. We recommend an investment by the legislature of general fund dollars, an increase in license fees, and direction from the legislature to develop a clear plan for a sustainable budget. Nobody's asked, what happens to our natural resources if these investments are not made? For the commercial and sport fishing industry, there would be less accurate population estimates and projections for returns, which would lead to shorter fishing seasons and smaller bag limits. Regulations are set to minimize the impacts on the least abundant stocks. Without robust estimates, we would have to err on the side of caution. For hunters, again, population estimates and projections would be similarly impacted. We would have to set seasons.
Ms. Varney, I'd have to ask you to begin to wrap
up. Okay. I wanted to say, without support from the legislature for this, ODFW would be forced to drastically cut positions. More than 48 positions have already been identified. These folks are the background of the agency and
Varney,
the direct link.
If you could wrap it up in the next sentence. So.
Anyway, we hope that you will work closely with us to develop a clear vision and strategy to sustainably fund the agency for many budget cycles to come. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And again, I would remind everybody that we're trying to get to everyone, and please cut off when we ask you to. And I apologize for having to cut it short. We just don't have enough time today. Peggy Lynch, Mike Deichsel, and on deck is Jenny Dressler and Jim Walsh.
Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan grassroots political organization that encourages the informed and active participation in government, and you can't get better than this.
We could have more time.
You could have more time. That's exactly right. So the League supports the mission of the department, which is really important for you to remember, to protect and enhance Oregon's fish and wildlife and their inhabitants for use and enjoyment by present and future generations. I'm wearing this hat today that's my 87-year-old uncle's hat who has been a volunteer with Fish and Wildlife for years. And I do it in honor of him as I give this testimony. The League participated in the External Budget Advisory Committee in part because we were part of the Integrated Water Resources Strategy, as was ODF&W. We're having drought in Oregon. We need to make sure that we address all of these issues. Although we're not fond of fee increases, we worked with almost 50 other stakeholders to try to figure out a way to have some kind of a fee increase that would not lose out-of-state Oregonians, but also wouldn't lose in-state Oregonians. So we believe the fee increase is that balance. We heard Representative Krieger. We are going to be supporting this afternoon the general fund request for the Oregon State Police budget. The Oregon Conservation Strategy has never really been funded, so it's really important to have that general fund infusion. We support POP 101 that supports field staff and scientists on behalf of the general public, and then we support 102 to support the activities for the fees. But we would not support using general funds to backfill the agency budget should the fee increases in Senate Bill 247 not be approved. It is a partnership. And that's really important. You know more than anybody that we don't have the general fund to give to everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch.
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is Mike Deichsel. I'm the Director of Forest Protection for the Oregon Forest Industries Council here in Salem. My primary responsibilities are in fire protection, but also animal damage and forest land security. And real quickly, just to let you know, I'm also a member of the External Budget Advisory Committee. You've heard referenced by a lot of different people here. I've been doing that for several biennia now. It's a very open and transparent process that kind of results in this kind of feedback and education about the agency. OFIC supports the department's budget, encourages you to support it. They provide a valuable resource for forest landowners, the habitat providers for both fish and wildlife species here. But the increasing public expectations, demands, and needs of the public, I think the increase in general funds are very appropriate. I think you've heard a lot of complex issues here today, and the most important part is getting the agency a budget for the next 2 years. I think there's a number of really essential work groups that are currently underway looking for solutions for the long term, but we got to get to the long term before we can get there first. So appreciate your time, your energy, and appreciate the opportunity to comment today.
Yeah, thank you both.
If I could, real quick, I almost forgot the support for the Predatory Animal Rodent and Rabbit Fund, which is the Wildlife Services component of the agency's budget, and also the ODA portion of that as well, too. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll call up Jenny Dressler and Jim Walsh. On deck is Linda Buell and Tamara Motner.
And I think Jim is just in another hearing right now, so we may want to change up that order. But Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is Jenny Dressler, and I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. Farm Bureau has several points to make today. First is our support of the Wildlife Services budget. You'll see a letter that was passed out in front of you. That's our position, and these programs really do support farmland owners and rural communities as they work to deal with human-wildlife conflict. We also support the governor's sagegrass initiatives, which are a critical part of the statewide effort to support sagegrass recovery and prevent alisting. We believe that wildfire is one of the most critical threats to sagegrass recovery and support policy option package 132, which would implement pre-fire actions to improve resilience of sagegrass habitat to wildfire and promote recovery. Farm Bureau opposes the Department of Fish and Wildlife's engagement in state acquisition of working farmland. These projects have detrimental impacts on neighboring farm and ranch operations, making it more difficult to maintain a working landscape and keep farm and ranch land in production. And finally, we do support an increased general fund allocation and believe that general fund has a responsibility related to the general public's interest and strongly support increasing this to fill that.
Thank you very much. So we'll go ahead and call up Linda Buell and Tamala Montner. On deck is Bill Kramer and Les Helgeson.
Good morning, Chair Rayfield and members of the committee. My name is Linda Buell. My husband and I own a charter boat that runs out from Garibaldi Charters. We just sold our charter office to my daughter, Tamara, and her husband. And so they're their new and upcoming orders. Owners, we very much object to the daily license fee increases. These are our tourists that we will be turning away. We already have done it at sportsman shows. We've also used to have, a couple of years ago, over 100 charter boats on the Oregon coast. It's now down to 50 for last year. We did add our one that we just bought and brought back, hopefully to make money. The daily license fees are not comparable to California and Washington. California charges $15.12 and include the shellfish license, not an added tax. And in Washington, it's $20, and they also include the shellfish license. And that is something I would like you to look at, because if we can include those shellfish licenses, we will keep those tourists. Otherwise, we will not, and you will greatly impact our ability to make money and to have our business. And you may lose more charter boats. Our recommendations: when adding programs to the ODFW's already heavy workloads, the legislature needs to add funding priorities from the general fund or elsewhere before these types of programs are initiated, not afterwards at the expense of our different fishing sectors, and certainly not at the expense of our tourist business. A more reasonable approach, and certainly better for charter businesses, would be to compete with California and Washington for our tourists by having, if not better rates for fishing in Oregon, at least matching rates. Instead of... Sorry.
And then if you could begin to close, I apologize.
So, my problem. Finally, if we cannot match these rates somehow, we will lose much of our out-of-state business. And I think the ocean endorsement, which nobody can tell me what that's about, is something to be looked into, because I don't think anybody wants to lose their freedom of the seas.
Thank you for your patience.
Hi, co-chair, Representative Rayfield, and members of the committee. My name is Tamara Mountner, and I am a charter boat captain, and I am the owner of Garibaldi Charters, along with my husband. I'd like one person in this room who testified to support this fee increase to tell me that they would be okay with paying $105 for a fishing trip and then paying $43 for the necessary licenses. That is what would be required in 2020 for a daily fishing permit and a shellfish license, and that's 40% of the trip cost. This will knock our feet out from under us. It will affect coastal economies, not just charter boats. The people that rely on us are fish fillets, restaurants, hotels, markets, gas stations, everybody in the town of Garibaldi. They rely on our customers. Excuse me, I'm really nervous. But they rely on our customers to bring business to Garibaldi. We are a tourist-driven town, and this fee increase, to me, seems like very poor logic, because we are the people that are getting people out there. Beginners, first-timers, fishermen, we provide a good experience, and if we're providing an experience that costs them a lot of money, they're not going to want to buy licenses in the future. They're not going to want to do this. Families are not going to be able to do this. Thank you.
You did a fantastic job, so for being
first-timer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don't leave yet. I'll just tell you, you don't need to be nervous here. I get really nervous when I'm out on a charter boat.
No kidding.
I just wanted to make it very clear. The norm in your industry is not just to offer angling or shellfish, but to offer a combined trip that has the shellfish, the angling, and the endorsement, which is why you're looking at an increase by 2020 from $27 to about $45 just for the licensing fees. Is that correct?
We don't combine it.
We don't combine the licenses in with the fees, no. We charge that separately to the customer. We charge them $105 to come out on a bottom fishing.
But the licenses you're talking about are for angling, for shellfish, and the endorsement.
There are two separate licenses. There's a daily fishing license that will raise to, I think, around $24. And then there's a shellfish license, which I think somebody slipped in there without even actually looking at it, because it goes from $11.50 for a three-day out-of-state shellfish license to $19, and there's not even an option for a one day. That wouldn't work for my customers.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for your testimony. So we'll call up Bill Kramer and Les Helgeson. On deck is Fred Van Natta and George Houston.
Good morning, Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Les Helgeson. I hope you received my written testimony and had a chance to review it. So I'm going to do my best to highlight some points here. I do want to start and say, I think it was Representative Esquivel. I agree with what his assessment of our natural resources are now. I've lived with salmon, steelhead, elk, deer, you name it, for 30 years now. I've been incredibly fortunate. In the past, as you see from my testimony, I've worked on a number of committees and tried to work proactively. At one time, we used to get together with members of the Steelheaders, what was then the Oregon Outdoors Association, and ODFW would facilitate compromise on some contentious management issues. Sometimes we actually agreed and came up with something that worked. Things took a turn for the worst around the turn of the millennium here. The agency was forced into Salem, and a lot of personnel left, and there's just some very pronounced changes. Resulting in a serious decline in the resources, I think Representative Esquivel was perhaps understating the situation, if anything. This is the reason why we're losing anglers and hunters. You know, people go out with an expectation. They're sold on the internet and by the department, and, well, gosh, we didn't see an elk and spent all this money on the tag and so forth. Same thing with fishing. So that's the reality. We might differ on the cause.
I have to ask you to start to close, please.
Certainly. So I have two recommendations. One, as you see in my written testimony, was to establish a hatchery harvest tag in lieu of an across-the-board increase in other licenses and fees. Second one would be to create a third division within the department, a conservation division that would bring elements of OEB, et cetera, et cetera. Then we could fund that with general funds, and I would support
that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair. My name is Bill Kramer. I'm president of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders, and I would like to make a couple points real quick. Number one is that we are, too, would encourage this committee to encourage the governor to at least have one representative on our Fish and Wildlife Commission. That is so critical to getting our point across, and we have seen time and time again where we have been disappointed in recent decisions by the commission. One reason we oppose this bill is because this is basically a kick the can down the road bill, which by its own admission, what we will lose. Every time we see these fee increases, we lose 10,000 anglers, and we can just keep kicking the can down the road. We want to ensure that we encourage angling and increase angling, not decrease angling. And the third point I'd like to make is on a hatchery fish. We have given you this handout. Hatchery fish are so important not only to our fisheries. Most of us got our first fish is always a hatchery fish, but it's also important for the nutrient enhancement for our streams that we have started a program to put these fish back in our rivers because they are critically low on nutrients, and it's also critical that we help with the food banks, our local food banks. So not only do these people get some good salmon, but it's also important that these salmon come back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, we'll call Jim Walsh up as. And still on deck is Lisa Phipps, I'm sorry, Fred Van Natta and George Houston. Jim Walsh just came back in. We'd like to.
Co-Chair Rayfield, and committee members, Jim Welsh with the Oregon Cattlemen Association, and we just would like to put our bid in for increased general fund dollars, certainly for predator control and for the wolf program, for large game management. It is very important that these occur, and we're not being supportive of the fee increase at this time. We think it needs to be coming from general fund due to the public interest and public benefit. Our rural communities cannot withstand decreases in the hunting and fishing activities that annually visit their counties and cities. It is very important that those dollars will be there to continue to help those rural communities. And with a fee increase, we will see that decline. And as that declines, it's going to be very difficult for this budget if we don't go to general fund. And certainly for predator control, for wildlife services, we'd like to see an increase of over 300,000. It was somewhere around 250,000 in 2013 and 15 budget. We'd like to see that increase. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And so next on our list was Fred Vanatta and George Houston.
I'm Fred Vanatta, a Salem resident, and I know you've heard a lot of confusing testimony today and a lot of recommendations. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to simplify things in the big picture, but I'm going to speak simply to two subjects that are of interest. One is a personal one. As a fisherman, I was part of the, I supported the fee increase 6 years ago. At least one witness has testified to that, and the department kept their promise then to the licensees, and did not, and there was no fee increase for 6 years. I believe the number one priority from my fisherman's perspective is the hatchery program. And if we don't do the fee increase, I believe the hatchery program will face cuts. And that is not a good thing for people who like to fish. And I'm surprised by some of the fishermen that have come through here and said don't increase the license fees. So my plea is don't do anything that jeopardizes the hatchery program. The other hat I will put on quickly.
And Mr. Vanatta, I'd ask you to actually begin closing. So.
Is I'm a member of the Wildlife Heritage Foundation, and I have a brother who runs a watershed program. The other thing that we are concerned about are enough employees to approve the conservation programs that the watershed folks do and the Heritage Foundation
thank
does.
Thank you, Mr. Vanatta. Thank you very much. And again, I apologize for having to cut you off short. George Houston, and on deck is Lisa Phipps and Melissa Graper.
Good morning. Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is George Houston. I'm the president of the Oregon chapter of the Foundation for North American Wild Sheep. I live in Sandy, Oregon. Pleased to be able to have an opportunity to chat with you a little bit this morning. Recommend that you pass the budget for the agency. 50 states in the United States are arguing and debating this same process about general fund and how to keep our wildlife agencies going forward, so you're not alone in your work. The bighorn sheep and Rocky Mountain goat hunting opportunities in the state of Oregon are very, very good. The agency has provided well for that. If you can draw a tag, you're going to bring a billy or a ram home. The agency, I believe, would really benefit from additional general fund dollars coming in to support. The general funding for the
OSP Game Cops is really appreciated. They do a wonderful job. Harney and Lake County have got more square miles than some of our states in our country, and they're out there by themselves in a vehicle with no dog to support, and sometimes marginal communications equipment that they can't communicate that they really need help. The folks in the districts that work for this organization and the regions are doing a terrific job. They spend an awful lot of time breaking their pick for the folks that come to hunt and fish. We need better deer and elk plans that are actually going to increase hunter opportunity in this state. And we need less excuses of why we can't and more planning methodology that actually grows what we know can come back, even if it's going to take a while.
And Mr. Houston, at this point, I'd have to ask you to close.
I'm there. We need to manage aerial, terrestrial, and aquatic predators. We want to thank you for the funding for Wildlife Services work for controlling predators.
We still have 10 more people to go in less than 10 minutes. So
and I appreciate your support today.
So thank you very much. And just so everybody who's in the overflow room, Mr. Siebert and myself are committed to making sure everybody gets heard today, even if we go over 10 o'clock. I can't say that other folks that have on this dais that have other appointments, but at least the two of us will be here to make sure we hear everybody. But again, please keep it to 2 minutes, a little bit less than that if possible. On deck is Cheryl McGinnis and Robert Wisher. Please continue.
So my name's Lisa Phipps, co-chaired Rayfield and members of the committee. My name's Lisa Phipps, and I'm the executive director of the Tillamook Estuaries Partnership, a nonprofit and national estuary program located in Garibaldi. And if I'm not a little bit nervous, I don't know who is today. I am here today to strongly encourage you to support an ODFW budget that includes funding for the Western Oregon Stream Restoration Program and to restore at least the $1 million that was recommended by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. This past August, a number of folks testified at the Fish and Wildlife Commission hearing, and an amazing thing happened. In spite of a department budget that was proposed without this program, the commission voted unanimously to restore $1 million to this program. That sent a very powerful message to those of us in the room. But that leads me to my second point, which is the message that the loss of this program will send to your partners in the field under this current scheme. The Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds and other conservation strategies cannot be fully implemented without local partners like us and many others in this room, and we cannot do it without our state partners. ODFW is integral in ensuring that these plans are implemented in a way that moves efforts towards quantifiable outcomes, better water quality, better habitat, and improve fish numbers. Our local Tillamook office is going to experience a 60% reduction as a result of this budget. That includes the loss of the Western Oregon Restoration Program biologist, the habitat protection biologist, an assistant district biologist, and the watershed liaison position. This is significant. With that loss goes technical expertise, match and leveraging options. It increases cost to restoration efforts. It impacts our local restoration economy, and it reduces the state's ability to implement its renowned conservation strategies.
Well, I'd ask you to close, please.
I would ask that you support adding in the $1 million that was recommended by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. This is an investment in programs that it affects our natural resources, our local economies, and our next generations.
Thank you.
I'm going to go as quickly as I can. Thank you, Co-Chair Rayfield, and members of the committee. My name is Melissa Graper. I'm the Watershed Council Coordinator for the Nakanakum Watershed, located in Seaside, and I'm also a board member for the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils, and I want to draw your attention to a letter we submitted on behalf of 17 signatories in support of the Western Oregon Stream Restoration Program. I'm expressing my concern today over the potential loss of this program and the profound repercussions the elimination will have on habitat restoration efforts in Western Oregon. Eliminating this program is a drastic measure and will have lasting consequences, and I'm asking you to consider funding this program even at a reduced level, as Lisa mentioned. A reduced program can come back, and eliminated one is much harder to revive. This program started in the mid-90s to provide direct technical support to watershed councils and private landowners in Western Oregon to implement the Oregon Plan. This $1.9 million program employs 7 biologists and 5 program specialists, or 5 monitoring staff, and is a non-regulatory restoration program that practices adaptive management. It's not coincidental that this program started just as the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds was created and as watershed councils were forming. The elimination of this program will directly affect at least 36 of the 60 OEB-recognized watershed councils covering more than 18 counties. We apply for over $28 million in grant funding for restoration and technical assistance project just last year. And not only does this program benefit salmon populations, but stream restoration results in ecological and economic benefits. Restoration work creates jobs in our communities, typically 15 to 20 jobs for every $1 million spent on restoration. These items will simply not continue to be covered by covered by other organizations and agencies. Many will cease to be implemented and at the very least will be costly or cost prohibitive to continue. Losing this program not only means having funds, having to find funds to cover the cost of the services provided by these biologists, but also losing the ability to leverage that match against other funds, increasing the amount of funding available for on-the-ground restoration, including, this is my big point, including funds from the sale of the salmon license plate dollars. Without this program, we won't be able to implement those funds. So thank you.
Thank you much. And again, thank you for putting up with us with our limited time. Cheryl McGinnis, Robert Wisher. On deck is Lauren Goddard and Chris Olson.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, committee members. My name is Cheryl McGinnis. I'm Executive Director of the Clackamas River Basin Council, and I am also here to speak in favor of renewing funding for the Western Oregon Stream Restoration Program. Its area of influence is 1.2 million acres. Over 8 major watershed councils work in partnership with the fish biologists out of this program. Without the Western Oregon Stream Restoration Program fish biologists, our success in implementing stream restoration projects would not be realized. They provide us important technical expertise as well as their professional contributions, help us during project concept planning and development, implementation, and post-project monitoring. The area and all the other partners that they provide service to results in impact of over 2 million people in Oregon, which is over half our population. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Robert Wisher. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm with the Sandy Chapter Northwest Steelheaders. Yes, I am opposed to this fee raise. I think the important thing is affordable license fees. With that in mind, I often found through life that you had more participation, you did everything was better for everybody, including the economy, which means you lower the fees rather than raise them, get more people involved. That's all I got to say. And I agree with everything that's been said ahead of me. The last three ladies hit it on the nail.
Thank you both for your brevity. So we'll go ahead and call up Lauren Goddard, Chris Olson. On deck is Jack Craven and Sean Sorensen.
Good morning, Chair Rayfield and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm Lauren Goddard. I own and operate Dockside Charters in Depot Bay, Oregon. I'm very concerned about the proposed license fee increases, primarily the one-day increases. At present, a one-day angling license is $16.75, non-resident shellfish license $11.50. That is scheduled to increase to, at the year 2020, to a total of $45, including the endorsement, which, as Linda Buell said, I don't understand. I don't know what I'm going to get for that dollar fee. But given that, we're looking at a huge increase on that, about 32% from what we're looking at right now. Shellfish licenses are included in California and Washington State one-day licenses. We're obviously not providing the same value for our one-day licenses and, as such, are not competitive in that market. With the Internet being used the way it is today, folks are shopping. They shop like mad. On top of not being competitive as far as providing value with the shellfish license being included, both Washington and California have higher bag limits than we do. So there's another detriment to our value. So I would advocate that, being a realist, I understand that fees have to go up. But I would advocate that we limit ourselves on our one-day fee increases to $18.
And I'd ask you to begin to close.
Yes.
Thank you.
And include a shellfish license in that. And I've already heard a lot of comments from my clients that are from out of state that say that these increases as proposed will put family recreation out of reach for them in the state of Oregon.
Thank you. So, Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Goddard, do I understand? I understand you're asking for a combined license. Would a one-day shellfish license make a difference in your business?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience again.
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Coach Rayfield and members of the council here, I'm Chris Olson. I'm a small business owner in Newport. I own a charter office. I'm going to echo the sentiments of Lauren here. The rate increases, you're asking a small business in the coastal community, which is already financially strapped, to absorb a disproportionate amount of the burden for ODF&W as well as I just see it as a nail in the coffin, recreational fishing and the charter fleet in particular. We can't absorb it. There's no bang for the buck. In the last week during spring breaks, we've had families from five different bordering states or out to Montana come and fish through our office, and your license is $150 for a fishing trip for, you know, for 4, 5, 6 hours out there. It's just I see it as a nail in the coffin of the fleet and recreational fishing.
And thank you both for taking the time to travel the distance you did to come here to testify. Representative Gomberg.
I know we're short on time, Mr. Chairman, but this is a great opportunity to ask a critical question. We've been talking about fee increases because we don't have enough revenue in the current environment to cover the cost for the department. But we've also been talking about the fact that the number of people who are doing wildlife watching as opposed to angling or hunting has been increasing. And I want to ask Mr. Goddard, you're in the business of doing angling trips and shellfish trips, but also doing whale watching trips. You're on both sides of these equations. Will these fee increases encourage more of your clients to take that $20 whale watching trip rather than the $100 plus $45 angling trip?
Only if we're able to land gray whales.
You're going to need a bigger cleaning station.
Yes, we are. However, no is the short answer to your question. I don't see a spiraling down of anglers to whale watching. It's pretty anticlimactic, though I never tire of whale watching. They're incredible animals, but they're not fish.
And they're thank you both for your testimony. We do have to keep going, and I apologize for the other representatives and senators that may have to leave early, as there are other appointments, so please don't take offense. We will stay here until we get everybody heard. It's really important that we hear your voice today. So we'll call up Jack Craven and Sean Sorensen. On deck is Larry Sowa and Stephen Kafori. And again, I do appreciate your patience as we've had to cut everybody a little short today.
Hi, hello. My name is Jack Craven. I own a charter office in Newport, Oregon. I'm also a licensed captain and run a vessel. I'm here to oppose the fee increase for the daily angling licenses. We already lose people due to the cost of them now. When we get feedback from people who we ask about the increase to possibly $24, most of them are shocked. They cannot imagine spending that much on licenses on a trip that we charge $75 to go out on. Sorry, I'm very nervous. I really believe that if this goes through, you will see more and more charter boats go out of business. You will lose jobs. Hotels will suffer. Restaurants will suffer. The coast will suffer. And from a personal perspective, I am a lifetime hunter. When I was young, I never thought that the cost would be too much to go hunting. But now, I look at it. I have a family of four. I can't afford it. I'd rather just go camping with them. And that's something that hurts me to say. I have a passion to be outdoors. Not even to kill anything, just the pursuit. And it's something that every year gets harder and harder to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Co-Chair Rayfield and other members. My name's Sean Sorensen. Captain out of Newport, Oregon. Just getting into the business last year is my first year running a charter boat. I see the increased license fees. It's really going to hurt the business. I mean, it could potentially put me out of a job in the future if it keeps going up. We got a lot of people, got a lot of tourists that come in. We got a few regulars, but we get a lot of people that come in. And if you're paying, you know, half your trips, just for licenses, you know, $100 trip and $50 in licenses and fees, that's going to scare a lot of people away. And they might come and do it once, and then they're going to get burnt and continue to get burnt by it, and then they're just not going to come back. And it could potentially put me and a lot of other people out of a job, and it's just going to hurt the fishing community in general in my eyes.
And thank you both. Thank you for taking the time to be here today. It's important to put a face on what's going on, so we appreciate that. Thank you, sir. We'll go ahead and call up Larry Soa and Stephen Kafori.
My name is Larry Soa, Oregon City, Oregon. Several years ago, sportsmen came together and said that we want to be involved in the budget for Fish and Wildlife. They've done a yeoman's job in following through. They have the EVAC committee, and they have 8 or 10 town hall meetings throughout the state to gather input on what the budget should look like. As a sportsman, this is our budget. We have supported it. In 1989, when I chaired this subcommittee, the general fund for the natural resource agencies was 2%. It's way down now. Please support whatever the co-chairs will allow you to do and putting a general fund back into this budget. The organization I represent met by conference call last night, and the board of directors voted unanimously and enthusiastically to support this budget and the fee increase. They have a lot of confidence in our new director, and we think we will move forward and develop an agency that is responsive to the public. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Kafori. I'm representing the Oregon chapter of the American, excuse me, the Wildlife Society, which is the professional society for wildlife biologists. We support the budget. I'll be very brief. We have one thing we want to mention, and that is the Oregon conservation strategy. Oregon is recognized as having perhaps the best conservation strategy in the United States. We are in the process right now of doing the 10-year revamp of that. A lot of effort and time is being spent updating that with new information and new management tools, GPS, GIS, and that kind of stuff. It's very exciting. But having a tool and no means to implement it makes no sense. We have enormous conservation needs. We have a lot of potential animals and birds and fish that could be put on the endangered list, which costs our economy a lot of money. We've had 4 bird species just recently either put on or threatened, and we think that funding the conservation strategy out of general funds is something that absolutely needs to happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kafori. We have on the list Amanda Rich, and then if there's anybody else, there's a couple of folks that we called out that didn't come up. I think it was Trampas Sedets, or if anybody else that has not testified that would like to testify on Senate Bill 5511, please come to the table.
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Amanda Rich, and I am representing the Oregon chapter of the Nature Conservancy. Recognizing the critical role that this agency plays in Oregon's ecological, economic, and social health, the Conservancy identified stabilizing ODFW's budget as a key priority for this session and beyond. I have had the privilege in being involved in this of being asked by Representative Bradwitt to help chair a group of diverse stakeholders that many of whom you have heard from today that are working toward that very goal of stabilizing this biennium's coming biennium's budget and beyond. And so you've heard a lot of different messages today, but I think the common thread that you have heard is really a passion and commitment to both this agency and the fish, wildlife, and their habitat that the agency seeks to protect. So our challenge really before us is to get through this session with a stable budget, keeping ODFW as whole as possible, but also really keeping these stakeholders at the table toward finding a long-term solution, because I really think anything we do this session is but a short-term solution. And so I certainly look forward to working with my colleagues and working with the agency and working with you and your colleagues to try to resolve this problem so that we can keep folks at the table and looking toward a long-term solution, but also manage to achieve this short-term goal of a stable budget for 15-17. So look forward to talking to you some more.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Michael Silvaggio.
And I have to apologize. Your name was so small. You write so finely on the list I passed over you.
It's
so
a lot of letters. I have to squeeze it in. For the record, Michael Silvaggio, representing the Audubon Society of Portland and its 15,000 members. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for keeping the record open. I'll try to make it brief because I also submitted testimony that I will refer to. But we wanted to point out that as 88% of the species ODFW deals with are non-game, they receive only 2% of the ODFW budget, and that speaks to an over-reliance, I think, on just one narrow constituency funding ODFW's operations, which is why we're in strong support of the budget that's in front of you. We think that that's a good way for a short-term solution to use general fund dollars to help support some of these other good works. We also, though, want to say that in the long term, we think that we need to look at broadening that revenue base and making sure that there's a long-lasting source of revenue that's coming in to support these programs. We also specifically support the Conservation Network's list of recommendations, and I'll only point out just one specifically, adding back the position in the director's office supporting the wildlife diversity strategy, and lastly, for the record, supporting the increase in fees. If it's partially or not adopted, we would humbly suggest that the resulting cuts be attributable to the programs that would have benefited. And that is that.
Thank you very much. So with that, it doesn't look like there's anyone else to testify. Thank sir. Okay, absolutely, sir. Please come forward. So this is the last chance. Anybody who has not testified that would like to testify, here we are. If you could just state your name for the record, and we'll go from there.
My name is Rod Fosbach. I'm a lifetime member. I grew up here in Oregon. I grew up as a kid fishing. The ODFW has had 6 years to get things straightened out from the last budget, and now they want a big increase in order to go the next 2 years. What's going to happen in 2 years? What I have a deal with, I'm a vet, and my dad was a pioneer. In the proposed budget, they're going to make the pioneers pay for a license. If you've lived here your whole life, you paid for that. And as a vet, a disabled vet, you've paid for that. And as far as the increases go, I've got kids and I've got a granddaughter. My kid can't afford to go fishing and hunting anymore because of the license fees. You guys have a tough job. There's a lot of people that want to have their own figures in the pie. I implore you to look at it closely and do what's best for the citizens of Oregon. You've got people on the coast that are going to lose jobs if this fee increase goes in. And you got people inland, they're going to quit hunting and quit fishing. If you're losing 10,000 people buying fishing licenses, that's just fishing licenses. That doesn't include hunting tags. The people that go out and watch birds and watch wildlife aren't paying a darn thing other than the taxes they pay on their binoculars and their gas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everybody for taking the time to be here today. And again, I apologize for not being able to give everyone more time. And also thanks to the committee members who stayed and pushed aside some of the other appointments to make this happen. So with that, we will go ahead and close the public hearing and adjourn the meeting. Thank you again. Hearing and adjourn the meeting. Thank you again.